Now, more of Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Oops, Fred Grandy filling in for Andy Parks, my old partner. On 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. I'm getting used to this. Brett Decker, editorial page editor of the Washington Times. This is now our third meeting.
And Andy has to be careful. You know, you leave the throne empty and might be occupied for good when you get back, right?
You've been watching too many events in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's right.
But listen, there are a couple of things that you've done just over the last weekend that I wanted to get to. But specifically today, you know, one of the things that a lot of people talk about with Obama, particularly those that have buyer's remorse, is, wow, we sure didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
But you've got a piece in today's Times that said, well, if you didn't see it coming, then you weren't paying attention to his inaugural address because he pretty much signaled what he was going to do. Explain.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things that are hidden about Obama. You know, who knows what the birth certificate thing is or his college transcripts. But I think we should focus on the stuff that we do know about. And so much is out there as far as public information, who this guy is. One, he has a crazy voting record.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never really been secretive about what his agenda is. So in this piece that you mentioned, I just pulled three sentences out of one paragraph in his inaugural address, and it's really the second substantive paragraph. He has welcome all the, you know, nobility and everything, and says hi to the masses, and then he cuts to the chase, and it's just full of all these bad warning signs about
Well, for example, our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some. Now, we know that, of course, is now Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But you know what's interesting here? I don't know if you've seen Dinesh D'Souza's movie, 2016.
Oh, yeah, I saw it in New York 2 weekends ago.
But this is essentially anti-colonialism starting at home, wouldn't
sure.
you say?
Right. And, I mean, you know, it's always the escapism and trying to find scapegoats. And for somebody who has a government-centric position like Obama, it's always let's blame business, let's blame bankers.
Mm-hmm.
But they never look at the government regulations that really a lot of the people that run finance or run corporations, you know, their hands are tied on what they can and can't do.
Yeah. One of the things they can do is give generously to Democratic candidates who, at least in my experience, have been just as lax in overseeing those regulations until it's too late.
Yeah. My old view of the GOP is, you know, the business of America is business. And
Calvin Coolidge.
You know, the liberals get the unions, and then our team gets the business. But unfortunately, business has been cutting at 50-50, and they kind of deserve some of the trouble, unfortunately.
Well, also, you point out a couple of other quotes. Our health care is too costly. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And each day brings further evidence that ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. Can't actually see Solyndra in there, but it certainly resonates in retrospect.
And I mean, I think the key points on those two sentences, that's his inaugural address, day one, when he's sworn in.
Right.
He's basically saying this is what the next 4 years are going to have.
That's right.
And so no secret there, and he's done it. So
sometimes with executive order.
What we have to make sure people know this time around is, look, you know who the guy is.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is an accident. He's implemented exactly what he said he was going to do. So, you know, go into it with your eyes open this time in November.
All right. Well, let me touch on something that we did not get to when you were on the show with Andy and me Friday. But you wrote a piece about Geert Wilders. And Geert Wilders, for those of you that don't know, is a very prominent Dutch parliamentarian who, because of his very strong opposition to Islam's reach and creep into Europe, and particularly Holland, now lives under armed guard. I met him this summer when he was promoting his book, Mark for Death, and he's essentially lived in and out of a military/prison compound in the Netherlands for the better part of his political career. But you had an interview with him where you asked him, you portray the rise of Islam as a threat to freedom everywhere. Is that something we ought to pay attention to?
I mean, I think it definitely is. And I mean, I think this is an issue you know a lot about.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things where, you know, he got lots of death threats. And like you said, I mean, there were like 2 years where he actually lived in a prison cell.
Right.
Because they couldn't find anything secure enough that he had to be surrounded by layers of guards. But there's sort of a softer version. And I mean, both of us have kind of had to deal with this before where, I mean, you get so much pressure even if you speak about the issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
People attack you. And, I mean, I think one of the things that Wilders is very good about saying is, you know, there is really no such thing as moderate Islam.
No.
There are moderate Muslims, but that's because, you know, they're kind of cafeteria Muslims.
But you know who backs him up on that? The Prime Minister of Turkey, Recep Erdogan, said there is no moderate Islam. Islam is Islam. And as a matter of fact, now he's saying that to even talk about a moderate Islam is Islamophobic.
It's
insulting to the religion. But that brings up a larger question than I thought about when I read your piece. Why do you think we have become so inordinately politically correct? Perhaps not as much as Europe, not as much as Wilders and Lars Hedegaard, the Danish journalist who just escaped prosecution for criticizing Islam privately at a Christmas party in his own home, happily acquitted. But why are we moving in that direction?
I mean, I think one worry is, and I think we come across this on other issues, and it's the same even on our runaway debt, is how much character do we have as a nation anymore? And part of it is because we don't believe in a whole lot as a country anymore. So if you don't believe in what's good or special about your country, especially ours, which, right, was founded on an idea. Mm. We're not an ethnic country. We haven't been around. We're not part of some race that's been in the same spot forever. I mean, we're a bunch of people that started a country based on the ideas of freedom. Once you really don't believe in that freedom anymore, then you're in trouble.
It's not just a function of Obama. I mean, he's accelerated, I think, that meme. But we have been moving in this direction for some time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame it on Obama because, you know, the country accepted him and chose him.
Sure.
So I think he's more of a he's kind of an example of it more than anything else.
I'm still mystified this because I even when I was a member of Congress some 10 years ago or more, there was such a thing as political correctness, but it was nowhere near as rigid as what we're dealing with now, at home and abroad.
Well, and in some ways, I think it's actually worse here than in Europe. One thing you can still get away with in Europe is having a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But one bad joke here and you're toast.
I know.
I mean, you're fired, you're excommunicated and blackballed and put on a blacklist or whatever you want to say.
And believe me, as somebody who's told a lot of bad jokes in his life, I'm very worried. I want to get to your wheelhouse because obviously we know that you are an authority on China. So obviously this piece in the Washington Times today was not lost on you. This whole supposedly getting tough with the auto parts industry and China's subsidizing of auto parts. Oddly enough, this is all taking place in Ohio. The administration says, now we're going to get tough on auto parts. Would that have anything to do with the election?
I mean, oh, my gosh. Mr. Decker? He's been president for 4 years.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're halfway through September. We have less than 2 months to the election. The more important thing about Obama is just that picture, which is on the back cover of my book. It's just him full-blown bow to the president of China. I mean, right. That's all you need to know about the guy.
You can find one with Prince Abdullah, too, if you look
exactly.
hard enough.
So, I mean, you know, the guy is subservient to these sort of foreign masters.
But really, how much leverage have you got when a country owns $1.11 trillion of your debt? I mean, how much can we really bring the hammer down when it comes to unfair trade practices?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the debt is so big, I think people forget what the consequences are.
Yeah.
But it's not like we just, you know, we just owe it. And it's out there somewhere. We owe it to specific people.
Mm-hmm.
Those people end up having a say in our policy. And I mean, at some point, China, if we disagree with them on anything, they could say, we're going to stop buying it. We're going to dump it.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they don't dump our debt because it's valuable to them, if they don't keep buying it, we're in trouble because we have to borrow money from China to keep paying for our government.
I know. And it's interesting from a historical perspective, too. Here is Obama being criticized by the Republicans for not having a tough trade policy. When I was still a member of Congress, it was just the reverse. It was Republicans who wanted free and open trade and essentially most favored nations for everybody, the North American Free Trade Agreement. You go back into the 19th century, it was the Republicans again who were the high tariff group.
Right, yeah.
So what does this become cyclical after a while?
Well, you know, I'm extra sensitive to the issue just as a Detroiter. But there are so many, we always want to go after the other guys. You know what? Every country is going to try to maximize their advantage one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So many stupid laws and regulations here, instead of making like trade arguments and starting trade wars, let's get rid of our own stupid laws. For example, you know, foreign automakers can come here, set up shop in the South, and have non-union labor and make a car for $2,000 or $3,000 cheaper than, say, Ford can. If Ford tries to put a factory in Alabama and have it non-union, they'll have a strike. It'll cripple them. And the federal government intervenes against the domestic automaker. So
wow.
How much do our laws make sense when foreign companies can make the same product in our soil cheaper than our own? That's just stupid laws.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore free trade, Brett. Next you'll be saying Boeing should move to South Carolina. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Something else I wanted to talk to you about, and that is the whole question about Iran right now. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, is asking for a red line. What he seems to be getting is something between gray and pink,
yeah,
as in code pink, from this administration in terms of will we or won't we be there if Israel needs us should Iran move towards a significant nuclear capability.
You know, seeing what Obama is doing on this stuff is crazy. With the United Nations meeting, he's going to meet with, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt and not meet with Netanyahu. And when Netanyahu requested a meeting with the White House, they basically said, sorry, he's busy. Well, there aren't very many opportunities left before November. And there's already speculation that Israel might try to hit Iran in October because, you know, they want to do it before they know if Obama's reelected or not. And
yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's irresponsible to not say, sit down with this guy.
It's hard to know what a real October surprise would be for Israel right now. Is it an attack from Iran or an Obama reelection? We're gonna have to leave it
there,
I'm afraid.
We'll get back to that one
later.
We'll
pick that one up tomorrow. Brett Decker, thanks for being with us, and we will be right back.